Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
94.7 The Block and our sister station 101.9 WFAN present the quickest New York football preview with WFAN weekday evening host, yeah, Keith McPherson.
Okay, it's me again, back for week three again. Haven't got a pick wrong, let's go 3-for-3 again. I don't know about your team, I don't know about your picks. The Jets and Giants lose again, it's time for the New York Knicks. Moneyline, I got the Bucks, winning their first game at home. The Jets, old head coach, goes as far as Baker goes. Rocking them throwbacks like 94 The Block. And all white, Rashad White is gonna run the rock. They couldn't stop James Cook, I hit him with the same look. The Jets will have to get lucky against the Mecca and Bucky. Last week, the Giants finally found ways to score. Then they found a way to lose, can't believe it's year four. Now here come the Chiefs. We gonna see you once and more. Since losing the Super Bowl, they won't go 0-4. Sunday night football, it's a family affair. Giants must protect the house like the family in there. Pass rush will have Patrick Mahomes scrambling in there. If Taylor Swift is in the suite, there's a camera in there. I think the Chiefs win this game out of desperation. They not about to let you mess up Taylor Swift's engagement. And Monday night football on the other station, Lamar Jackson gets the win for the Ravens Nation. And we're back. Good morning. Good morning. Week three, football bars. Quickest football preview. You can hear that on 94.7 The Block. And I got a couple of texts today. I guess they played that on Evan and Tiki. I don't know. I think I got to come in and record those. Because I've been recording them at home, on my home setup. They sound good, but I'm such a particular like audio guy. I don't know if you know that about me. Former DJ, rapper, MC. Went to school for radio and television, worked at Guitar Center. I'm like, I think they took the Garage Band reference track and made it the track. It is what it is. I always record those. I send the vocals. I send the instrumental. And then I send the full thing together, like how I intended for it to go, but I didn't intend it for that to go. I intended for the vocals to go over. Whatever. It is what it is. Some people don't even, you know, think twice about that type of stuff. I do. So I'm like, you know what? I got to come in and I got to get with one of the producers in here. But it's tough because it's like those come out every Friday, football Friday. And like I said, I'm so busy. I just wait till Friday morning. I get up Friday morning. I'll sleep from like 3:30 to 9:30. I'll get up and I'll just start like writing different things about the teams and the games. And every week I pick Jets, Giants, Monday Night Football. So I try to come up with a couple bars, a couple lines, and like something clever or catchy. Did you miss some of the double entendres in there? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe did, maybe didn't. Money line, I got the Bucks. They're not about to let you mess up Taylor Swift's engagement. Whatever. It's for another time. That's just how I lean into the NFL conversation. Bum, 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 ba-da-dum, bum. Week three in the NFL. My thoughts. I already kind of told you that I think that the Jets and the Giants are going to put both teams on upset alert. Like, I think the Buccaneers and the Chiefs could get beat, but I just keep coming back to no. No. The Jets are searching still. They have their second string quarterback in.
And they're not the only team with their second string quarterback in. The Bengals versus Vikings game is going to feature two backups. Jake Browning and Carson Wentz are going to face off there. Jaden Daniels has been ruled out. So Marcus Mariota, remember Marcus Mariota being drafted with Jameis Winston? Those two guys, like, that's how far we're going back. Jameis Winston is the third string quarterback at with the Giants now. Mariota's going to get the nod against the Raiders. Did Mariota play for the Raiders? Mariota football reference. I think he did because he bounced around. Didn't he play for the Raiders 1 year? Marcus Mariota. I know he played for the Titans. He did play for the Raiders 1 year. So maybe he's looking for revenge. I love football. As we proceed, what other backup quarterbacks are in there? I just did this spiel a couple days ago. Mac Jones. I think Brock Purdy's going to try to go, but Mac Jones is going to most likely get the start because there's no reason to force your now high-paid quarterback into danger early in the season. So, you know, my whole thing with that I was saying this week was if you don't have two quarterbacks, you won't have one. The old saying used to be if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And that's not true in the NFL. These guys just get hurt so much. You need to have two quarterbacks that are ready to go. You need to have two quarterbacks that you can trust, that you can count on. And so anyway, the Jets are already on QB2 with Justin Fields ruled out, concussion protocol. You know, all I've heard this week is about how cool Tyrod Taylor is, how he gets girls, how well he can dress, how he's aura farming. Like, all that stuff is funny and clippable for social media. But, like, Jets fans don't care about that. They're not laughing at that stuff. They want to win. They're tired of being a laughing stock. They're tired of different quarterbacks, different coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to feel what it feels like on Sunday to come away with a victory. Should have won week one. Got absolutely embarrassed week two. And now with this Bucs game, the Bucs are 6.5-point favorites. And they have some injuries. We weren't sure if Emeka Ebuka was going to be able to play, but he will go. I think Tristan Wirfs is down. We know Chris Godwin has been down, but I'll say this about the Buccaneers because I watched a good amount of their first two games. It's all on Baker. Baker Mayfield does not get enough credit for how much of a dude he is, how much of one of the guys he is, how much of a dog he is. I sound like PT, Positive Tommy. But, like, no, Baker Mayfield is the definition of that. Baker Mayfield wills them to victory. Baker Mayfield will not take an L. He will read the defense and get the ball where it's got to go. If he's got to run, he's got to run it. If he's got to drop it off, he'll drop it off. He'll make the throw. Find Mike Evans. He'll find whomever. And I watched him go on the road the first 2 weeks and beat the Falcons and beat the Texans. And so I just don't think that in their home opener, they're going home to Tampa, right? They've been home all week. They're going to open up Raymond James Stadium in front of their fans and lay an egg against the Jets. Aaron Glenn is still searching. Aaron Glenn needs to get his first win as a head coach. Like, in the NFL, the margin of error, like, the difference between winning and losing is so small. Like, a guy like Baker Mayfield makes the difference. I'm trying in my head to think of how the Jets come away with the win. Maybe they're able to surprise them. Maybe they're able to hit some, you know, passes. But, like, I just saw, like, Josh Reynolds is out. Like, I don't even know who they're throwing the ball to realistically. Like, is Garrett Wilson going to have a different type of game with Tyrod at the helm? I know the offensive line got rave reviews in week one. I know the offensive line, we were singing their praises and talking about, you know, they're going to be a run-heavy, run-first team. But, like, Breece Hall had 29 yards rushing last week, and they barely cracked 100 as a team. But when you looked at that box score, Braylon Allen had 11. The quarterbacks had the rushing yards. Justin Fields had 49, and he barely played. And then Tyrod had 21. So where is that at? And I guess you can't really run the ball when you're trailing and you got to throw the ball to try and make up ground. But they're going to be throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson, Arian Smith, Isaiah Davis, Jeremy Ruckert, Mason Taylor, Tyler Johnson. I don't see it, man. I can't make it up. And I want to make it up for you. I want to come up with a way that, like, they keep it close, but no. Baker is going to look at that defense and carve it up. Baker Mayfield came here last year and smacked the Giants. I was laughing the other night talking about how he did the Tommy Cutlets and how fast he did the Tommy Cutlets with his hands. Like, he did it all wrong. You know, I just think that there's no way that the Bucs, even not being healthy, I just think there's no way that the Bucs let the Jets come into their building and have their way. They'll beat you 7-6 if it's got to go down that way. 888-808-1019. You know, Baker Mayfield, there was a stat that I pulled because, you know, they're talking about some of his offensive linemen being hurt. The 33rd team, remember them? The 33rd team who helped the Jets hire Aaron Glenn? They put out a tweet, quarterbacks with a positive EPA total when pressured through week two. Baker Mayfield is plus 11. Baker Mayfield, it does not matter if he doesn't have protection. It doesn't matter if protection breaks down. It doesn't matter for Baker Mayfield. That's what I'm saying. He's a savant. If you listen to him talk football and talk coverages and what he sees, he knows. I don't see the Jets beating them. The other guy that was plus, right? Baker is plus 11. Josh Allen is plus 4.5. What did Josh Allen do against that Jets defense last week? That's the film that Baker Mayfield is watching. That's the film that Baker Mayfield is prepping for as he's getting ready to figure out what they're going to do. And last but not least, you know, going back to last week in that box score and watching that game, James Cook smacked them. James Cook got busy on them. 21 carries, 131 yards. He had that 44-yard run where no one wanted to tackle him. I saw Quinnen Williams came out and said something about, like, yeah, you know, the defense made a pack to, like, you know, never let a team rush for that many. Okay, that's talk, bro. Like, that talk is cheap, especially now. Why didn't you stop him in the game? Like, okay, afterwards. Yeah, let's see. Quinnen Williams says the Jets defense made a pact to each other that they would never allow an opposing team to rush for as many yards as the Bills did last week. I don't like when guys do that because that sets the precedent for the rest of the season where, like, what if someone does? What if someone, like, I don't know. You don't want to end up eating your words or looking like, okay, the next time you end up giving up 200 yards, you can give up 200 yards because somebody breaks a 70-yarder. Like Bucky Irving, and watching the, not just the passing attack, watching the offense of the Buccaneers between Rashad White and Bucky Irving, Baker Mayfield doesn't have to throw all the passes. Those guys can run the ball. Rashad White can run the ball. Bucky Irving, you give him a little screen, give him a little toss. Like, they're going to pose some problems for the Jets. But I mean, I think the Jets can keep it close. I think the Jets will not embarrass themselves, and they'll compete and all that type of stuff, but I don't see them coming away with a win. And I was talking the other night, it's funny, right? Baker Mayfield came out to tell everybody how to say Tyrod's name, that it's not Tyrod, it's Tyrod. And those guys were together when Baker got drafted. Baker was drafted to Cleveland in 2018, and Tyrod was the starter there. Not for long, but, you know, they spent some time together. I'm sure they have a relationship. And, you know, they'll be reunited on the field. I'm sure they'll get together pregame during warmups and have a quick chat and kind of talk about, you know, where the journey has taken them, where, you know, the NFL has led them. I was talking the other night about how Baker went from Cleveland to the Panthers to a brief stint with the Rams to now being the franchise quarterback of the Buccaneers. How did so many of those teams miss on him? Obviously, the Rams had Stafford, but, like, the Panthers? The Panthers missed on him and Sam Darnold. And Tyrod went to a few places. He went to the Chargers, and then, you know, he got operated on, and they did something and, like, punctured his lung or cracked his rib or something in the process of trying to help him, and he couldn't go. And then Justin Herbert got the job and hasn't lost it since. And then I think he was with the Texans, obviously with the Giants, and now with the Jets. Tyrod, not Tyrod. But it's funny, Tyrod is like, I'm not even going to correct you. You want to say Tyrod, that's fine. You want to say Tyrod, it's like, I know. My friends and family call me what I'm supposed to be called. But I don't have the time to correct everybody. I think that's his mannerisms. I think that's his personality. And I think that's good for a quarterback to have. They talked about that. Like, the way he carries himself is good. But you know what? I know some Giants fans watched Tyrod Taylor play for the Giants a couple years ago where he left a lot of plays on the field. There were some plays to be had. I can't remember it exactly, but I remember them being like, you know, goal to go and him missing a pass to either Saquon or not checking out of a play. Maybe it was against the Bills where I was like, come on, bro. You're an NFL quarterback. You're a veteran. You got to cash in right there. You got to be able to make those plays. So before we go, you know, doing what a lot of people did this week saying, oh, Tyrod's going to be an upgrade. Oh, well, he's a veteran. He can throw the ball better than Justin Fields. He's going to throw the ball downfield. Justin Fields had a horrible game. I feel for the young man because he had, you know, arguably the best game he's had in a long time, and then he came back with a dud, then he got concussed and knocked out of the game, and so now the book on Justin Fields is already closed. Justin Fields sucks. Justin Fields not good enough. We're going to go with Tyrod. Can Tyrod steal the starting job? Can he be the quarterback? And it's just like, no. Here we go with the Jets. 888-808-1019. Let's see what they do against former Jets head coach Todd Bowles and that defense, and also Baker Mayfield and that offense. Mike Evans is old, but he can still get it a little bit. And Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State, the Ohio State. That guy is...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Real. Now for the Giants, could they pull the upset? Yeah, and you want to believe that, but you know, the NFL is week to week. Andy Reid is one of the best. Spags is one of the best. They're going to watch that film against the Cowboys, and they're going to make sure to do none of what the Dallas Cowboys did. They're going to watch the film of the Dallas Cowboys and say, wow, I don't know where their safeties were. I don't know if the Cowboys knew what coverage they were in. I don't know if the Cowboys were in man when they were in zone or zone when they were in man or whose man was whose. They were all over the place. To have that many guys running free is insane. But that's what happens when you trade Micah Parsons and you don't have Deron Bland and you have a defense that, you know, Trayvon Diggs gets out there. And yeah, anyway, I think they're obviously better coached. Andy Reid versus Brian Daboll. And I expect them to be prepared because they haven't won a game since the AFC Championship. They lost the Super Bowl. They lost in Brazil to the Chargers, but they played a close game. And then they lost to Philly in their building, but they also played a close game. It wasn't like they got blown out. Like, all, you know, 0-2s are not created equal. This Chiefs 0-2 has everybody already saying what they're not, writing them off. No, they're champions. And if you recall last year, watching the Chiefs, we knew that they were suspect last year, but there were so many games that the Chiefs pulled out in the last minutes, seconds of the game, whether they needed a touchdown, whether they needed a field goal. They won all of those games close. There were so many games. Let me go back and look. I think I was doing this exercise a little bit earlier today. You know, they beat the Chargers 19-17. The week before that, they beat the Raiders 19-17. One possession games. They beat the Panthers 30-27. All right, they beat teams that weren't good. The Chargers were a playoff team, but they were finding ways to win. You know, they beat the Buccaneers by 6 points, 30-24. They beat the Raiders 27-20. They stacked a lot of wins last year by one score, either one touchdown, field goal, whatever it was, to end the game. They beat the Bengals 26-25. I think a lot of that is still in their DNA. I think a lot of that is still who they are. And a lot of that is Patrick Mahomes. So if you get into this game on Sunday night against Patrick Mahomes, which Patrick Mahomes' popularity is similar to Steph Curry. And when Steph Curry and the Warriors come to Barclays Center, there are about 50 kids wearing Steph Curry jerseys that live in the area, but they're there to see Steph. They are kids who, that one game that they go to is to see Steph. So there are going to be some young kids, and we don't even realize it now. Like, the Chiefs have been good. They've been dominant. They almost had a three-peat. They do have a mini dynasty. And there are kids that decided to watch football 5-6 years ago, and they became Chiefs fans, and now they're a little bit older, and maybe dad's a Giants fan, Jet fan, maybe, you know, a Cowboys fan, nothing. And, you know, their birthday present or their Christmas present or just something to do on a Sunday night. Hey, I want to go see Patrick Mahomes live. So there will be some red jerseys out there at MetLife. Not to the degree that we saw the Steelers fans pull up week one against the Jets or the Buffalo Bills fans. Like, Chiefs Kingdom is not going to be all the way out here on Sunday night. But I do expect some local Patrick Mahomes fans to be in the building. I also expect there to be some pissed off, disgruntled Giants fans in the building that if the Giants lay an egg, if they go three and out, they're punting the ball, they can't get anything going, the Boo Birds come out. This is New York. Well, that's New Jersey, but it's still New York. You know what I'm saying? It's New Yorkers, New York fans. Like, if the Giants don't come out and score and move the ball, like, the fans will turn on them. The fans will be loud and vocal, and that could be tough. There are some new players on this team, some rookies on this team, some first-time players on this team that, like, this is their home opener. This is their first game in MetLife, and you want to get started on the right foot. 888-808-1019. I'm going to keep going here, and then I'm just going to break because I just want to get my thoughts out. Then I want to hear from you, Jets fans, Giants fans, football fans. And you can counter, you can disagree, you can add different things, you know, as you know, we get through the night till 2 a.m. You know, so this is an NBC game on Sunday Night Football. If you remember, I think Taylor Swift did her like tour, and it was shown on NBC. Taylor Swift works with NBC. I like did some Googling. You know, she's been featured on NBC and NBC affiliate stations through her 2025 docuseries, The Swift Effect. She's been a guest multiple times on The Tonight Show. And she used NBC news outlets to announce her Life of the Showgirl album. So I don't know exactly how to say it. Like, Taylor Swift, I don't know, is she in cahoots with NBC? Somebody listening is working at NBC, probably knows. Call me up, tell me. Yes, actually, she owns a percentage of the company. I don't know. What I'm getting at is, oh, the fix is in. The fix is in. The fix is already in where you can't touch Patrick Mahomes, who, if you watched the game last week, Patrick Mahomes, he was running. He thought he was Lamar Jackson last week. Patrick Mahomes was tucking it, running. I remember Al Dukes had something to say about the first week, Patrick Mahomes trying to lay a shoulder into a guy. Like, Patrick Mahomes is crafty like that. If there's nothing there, if his receivers, and he doesn't really have any receivers, Xavier Worthy is trying to come back and play this week. I expect him to be a decoy. I don't expect them to get him the ball in traffic where he could tear his labrum again. You know, Hollywood Brown and some of these other characters will be there for Mahomes. And Mahomes don't care. He'll get it to whomever. But what I'm saying is Mahomes is going to run the ball. And you can't hit him. You can't hit him late. You can't hit him out of bounds. It's a penalty. And Giants, after last week, got to limit those penalties. Mahomes rushed for 66 yards to lead the Chiefs in rushing. He won't be the leading rusher, I don't think, coming up. They'll get Kareem Hunt going. And I know for a fact they're going to get Isaiah Pacheco going. They got him going against the Jets. He's from New Jersey. He's a Rutgers guy from Vineland. I've been saying this all week. He's a little jitterbug. When he runs, he's really pounding the ground. And I just know, you know, he's going to be turned up for a Sunday night primetime football game. That's another thing. The Giants don't win in primetime. They're going to get Isaiah Pacheco going for sure. And the fix is in with NBC. If Taylor Swift is in the building, you're going to see her. If Taylor Swift is in the suite, you're going to see her. I said it in my rap. Like, if Taylor Swift is in the suite, there's going to be a camera on Taylor Swift. They know what she generates as far as eyeballs. It's the only game on. Little girls will watch. I mean, grown women will watch. Men will watch. But there will be Taylor Swift. They've been milking this for four seasons now. Taylor Swift is engaged to Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, I think this is last year. I think he's cooked. I think this is it for Buddy. I think he should hang it up, go live happily ever after, and go on tour with his girl and support her. But yeah, that Taylor Swift fix is in with NBC. They are not about to let the Chiefs go 0-3. They're not. They're not. What is better for the league? The Chiefs going 0-3 and the Giants getting their first win with Russell Wilson? Or the Chiefs staying alive for later primetime games and like setting up next week? Next week, the Chiefs play the Ravens. If the Chiefs don't have a win, it's like, oh, that feels lopsided. The Chiefs at least have a win. And who knows if the Ravens beat the Lions this week. Like, you could have a matchup next week of Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes both at 1-2. I'm taking the Ravens. I don't think the Lions play well outside. They're good in their dome. You saw what happened with them and the Packers week one. I think that Lamar, King Henry, and those guys, I think they match up. I think they match up well against the Lions. I think that the Ravens will win. But I'm just, you know, we're talking football. We're talking about theoreticals and what could potentially happen and, like, you know, the setup here. And at least we've quieted the Jackson Dart conversation. But I don't know. There's reports out there. This Tony Pauline came out with some reporting. Obviously, he said Brian Daboll's on the hot seat. What else is new? His seat has been warm for 2 years now. Shane Bowen's on the hot seat. I've been telling you he should have been the sacrificial lamb last year. They should have fired him. But then that would have been three different defensive coordinators in 3 years. And then he reported that Jackson Dart could be the Giants' starting quarterback as early as next week if the team goes 0-3. Shocker. Shocker that if the Giants lose their first three games, which pretty much puts them out of playoff contention, that they'll just ride the rest of the season with their number two quarterback that they traded into the first round to draft that they feel good about, and they want to see what he has. They want to find that out because, like, they're not finding out if they go to the playoffs, so you might as well find out what you got in this kid, and then that'll determine if the head coach stays or doesn't go. And, yeah, that's his last saving grace. That's his last thing that he can latch on to is, hey, I drafted this kid. I'm developing this kid. Like, let me continue to do so. So, yeah, we'll continue to do some more football conversation, but I think that's pretty much... Oh, no, the last thing I had before we break here was Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas has to play. Enough already. And I get it. Like, Liz Frank injury, and I get... But, like, bro, you are regarded as an all-pro, the best offensive lineman on this team. After the performance of James Hudson last week, how could you not go? How could you? How could you watch somebody like that in your spot hurt the team and not say, "Yo, I'm playing next week in front of our home fans"? I don't know. And I listened to him speak, and I don't want to judge a man's voice or his tone, but he didn't really seem like somebody that's like revved up and ready to go. You know, he talked about rotating in, he talked about camaraderie, and he's never done that. Well, then just start the game and go to war. You're supposed to be an offensive tackle in the NFL. You're supposed to be going to battle. You're supposed to be going out there to protect the quarterback, put people on their ass. You're supposed to have this, like, mentality that, like, you're a road grader. I don't know, man. I don't know. That guy's got to play, and he's got to have the mentality that, like, hey, I'm playing this whole 60 minutes, and I'm ready to die out there. It's been too long since I've been out there with my brothers. It's been too long since I've been out there in front of these fans. It's the home opener. I'm Andrew Thomas. You paid me the money. You drafted me high. Like, I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
And we're back. Like, all the way back. So let's welcome in the FM listeners. Coming off the Rutgers game, and welcome in the YouTube live stream. I'm in the chat. I'm typing "yer." If you can see that, give me a "yer" back in the chat. Let's rock until 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you missed anything, go back and rewind in the free Odyssey app. I opened up talking about the Make It Happen Mets and how the difference a week makes, how great of a season Juan Soto has had, how now the Mets are controlling their fate a little bit here. The young guys are doing what they got to do pitching-wise. The bullpen was ready to go. Let's start taking some calls. We'll definitely get some more calls in the rest of the way. Phil, out on Staten Island, are you there?
Hey, Keith, what's up, man?
What's up?
Not much, man. I'm on my way back from City Field. I figured I'd give you a call. Wanted to talk about a few things if I can, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
One is I want to talk about Jerry. I don't know what that guy's doing out in the outfield. Like, he's chopping fly balls, he's misreading balls, and then he tips the hat to the crowd.
I don't know why he was left out there. Like, from what I saw, it looked like it had been a while since he had played. He had a terrible night. I don't know. I joked about David Stearns and, you know, him being a baseball savant, bringing that guy in here. Like, what is the purpose of Jose Siri? You said he tipped his hat to the crowd?
Yeah, and the crowd's booing him after he dropped the fly ball.
They were wearing him out.
He misplaced the triple. Then he couldn't get a bunt down. He pops it up the center field. He's running back to the dugout. He tips the crowd because everybody's booing him.
Not great, but I guess, you know. I don't know. Maybe that was his way of acknowledging, yeah, I suck tonight. I hear you.
And then with Mendoza, I feel like this guy's managing scared.
No, I feel
you just have this big fourth inning. You just come back.
Yeah.
The crowd's into it. Everybody's jumping up out of their seats. Soto just has a monster three-run home run. And he takes out his stud young pitcher, who's pretty much getting everybody out except for Siri dropping balls in the outfield.
Yeah, I think he's...
It made no sense.
Yeah, I know. I talked earlier about he went 71 pitches, 42 strikes. The kid kind of battled back, and, you know, he said he had, like, a talk with himself or something, but I think Mendoza's managing with urgency at this point. Now, it didn't look great because Brazoban comes in and gives up a two-run bomb, but he went and got him right away, and then the bullpen was lights out the rest of the way.
Yeah, the bullpen's lights out for today. Now... they're shot for tomorrow. You got to go back. You don't have anybody. You have a Diaz who we used in a 9-1 game the other day.
Yeah, I think a couple of those guys will be available, though. I think a couple of those guys that threw, like, Stanek threw 9 pitches, Raley threw 13 pitches. You know, like, those guys can go again. Tyler Rogers threw 6 pitches. I think he's managing with urgency. I can't knock it. I kind of understand it because he's lost so many games now. He's not giving an inch.
I get that he's not giving an inch. It just looks like it's scared at this point.
He should be
like
scared.
He doesn't know what's the right move to make. I don't know.
He's got a quick hook. Yeah, I think he is not managing scared, but he's got fear of of losing another game because there are no games left to lose. You can't leave anybody out there too long. You got to stop the bleeding. You can't let anybody go out there and cost you the game.
You don't think that you need to get your young guy experience? If he's going to be pitching in the playoffs, you just want to pull him like that? And if they're,
I think they're trying to protect him.
I
think he said, hey, good enough. We'll take it from here. And, I mean, the older guys aren't able to go more than four innings. So, I don't know. I think it was a move to protect the young guy. I think it was a move to kind of spare him. He gave up four hits, four earned runs. And when he hooked them, I think he had a plan all along to go to the bullpen tonight.
So you think the Mets should have just pulled Siri right out of the game after he tipped his
cap. That's what I said. I'm like, I don't know why he was allowed to. Even that that strikeout that he had late in the game, I'm like, this guy's in hell tonight. He's having a miserable night. And, like, he was the one thing. Like, everything else was going good. Everything was turning up, you know, pretty well for the Mets. Jose Siri was just miserable out there.
Yeah, you had to see the crowd. The crowd just turned on him so quick. Everybody was like, because at that point we fell behind because he couldn't catch a ball.
Yeah, I was listening, and then I was seeing some of the reaction on Twitter. People were kind of up in arms about the guy and calling for him to be cut tonight, calling for him to be DFA tonight. Thanks for the call, Phil. From Phil out on Staten Island, let's go to my guy Phil in Sheepshead Bay.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
The guy took the words out of my mouth. I never saw a ball player that's supposed to be a professional guy. He couldn't make the correct route going after a ball. He looked like he was lost.
That's
in
what
the
I
outfield.
Said. Looked like he hadn't played in a while. And I'm trying to think. I know he was hurt for a while, but damn, like he had a bad one.
I thought I saw on the screen it flashed his numbers 069. What's going on with that? Why even have the guy on the team?
Yeah, his batting average is terrible. He's not a good
player. Like bad news. Well, my other point
is Tyrone Taylor is working his way back. He'll be gone soon.
Okay, I like Tyrone Taylor because he's good in the clutch. He gets a lot of key hits. People don't realize, and he's a much better outfielder. I have one more point that I want to make. If the manager knew he was using Sprout for like maybe 4 innings. Why didn't they give him an extra inning? Let the kid win a game. Come on.
Yeah.
Because, Brazoban came in and gave up a 2-run homer.
Right.
The whole thing didn't make sense.
Hindsight being 2020, I think they were just ready to kind of spare the kid, move on from the kid, and stop the bleeding and not let it get any worse. Like, we got to go back. It was a 4-1 game at one point where it wasn't looking so great. It turned. But at the beginning of the game, it's like, uh-oh. And I think when we talk about Mendoza managing scared, the fear set in early.
Yeah, he didn't look right out there leaning on that. He looked like something was bothering him. Next thing I know, I see these guys in the bullpen. They're all warming up. Anyway, I'll leave you with that. Have a good evening, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Yeah, I don't know. All is well that ends well. A good night for the bullpen. And outside of Brazoban, everybody else comes out clean. And I don't think the kid, Brandon Sproat, is crying in the clubhouse like Jonah Tong was last Friday. I don't know. But I'll see if we can find some audio. I'm sure they asked Mendy. Actually, I think I did have that audio. I can go find that. I'll send that in. There was another thing I saw, two things. One, our very own Michael Fliegelman. Fliegelman is not here tonight, but I caught Fleeg's tweet. He goes, they didn't announce Jose Siri's name over the PA at Citi Field before his AB to avoid the boos, but he was booed the moment he started walking to the plate anyway. So, I don't know. But they did ask, Carlos Mendoza about having the quick hook on Sproat. And I will cue that up right now and send that in so that you guys can hear from the manager yourself. I don't mind him managing scared. I said he managed with urgency. He managed not to lose. He managed, like, we don't have any games to lose, right? The Reds won tonight. Let's see. Let's go look and see if the Philadelphia Phillies finished off that game with the Diamondbacks. I don't know why I'm not seeing that score. Where is that now? Yeah, the Phillies ended up beating the Diamondbacks 8-2. So it's a good night for the Mets. It's a good night for Mets fans. Carlos Mendoza didn't let that whole thing unravel. And now you look at the wild card, you're 3 games up over the Diamondbacks, 2 games up over the Reds, and 3.5 games up over the San Francisco Giants, who you own the tiebreaker on. Let me take another call, and then I will get the Carlos Mendoza audio from SNY postgame, where he's asked about taking out his starter, Brandon Sproat, where he did. Mike is in Tom's River on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Keith, how's it going, buddy? It's been a long time.
It's going, man. Thanks for calling.
So, listen, man, going into the playoffs here, how do you feel about things? It's I feel pretty confident, you know, with the way the Yanks are heading kind of in the right direction here. But tonight, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a sour loss. It was, I don't know, you think they still got a chance at the division? I mean, 3 out with 8 to play.
If they would have won tonight, you know? If they would have won tonight, we would have been having the conversation about the division, because they would have been 2 back, and then with the tiebreaker would have been 3. But like now, it's I don't know. It's still 4 to me in the next 8 games. It's just a prayer. You would need So the Blue Jays just lost 3 in a row. Are they going to continue to lose? Are they going to have a 7-game losing streak here?
I don't see that happen.
Yeah, I don't see that happen. They had a bad night from Scherzer. And as far as the Yankees are concerned, they see Trevor Rogers. He shuts them down for 6 innings. They're not able to manufacture any runs outside of Jazz's 2-run bomb. Will Warren gives it up a little bit, and then Tim Hill does the rest, and that's a loss. Now you got to bounce back and win the next one. But like I kind of signed off on the division after Sunday Night Baseball. After Sunday Night Baseball, I kind of felt like it was going to be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling the same thing here. I feel like the one positive, though, you can kind of take out of all of it is if, you know, they don't have that layoff and you kind of just keep the flow going. I mean, they're not playing great teams right now, but, you know, we've seen it with Judge in the playoffs over years past. Like that layoff kind of affects his swing or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think, you know, this route this year being different from last year, not having the bye week, they'll have a chance to get hot, and I hope that they stay hot. Thanks for the call, Mike. I'll lay out on that a little more, and we do have the clip from Carlos Mendoza on why he took out Sproat. You know, this Yankees team had a 7.5 game lead in first place. Jazz Chisholm, who hit his 30th homer tonight a couple weeks ago, was talking about, we're going to go win the division. And, like, as much as I like Jazz, I love his game. Like, sometimes I need him to say less, bro. You're a New Yorker now, right? You told a fan after the game on Twitter, SMD, you need to learn the New York phrase, say less. Sometimes less is more. Like, I didn't forget Jazz going out there talking about winning the division, and I'm like, it's a team sport, Jazz. It's not like basketball where you can go out there and dominate, and if you have, you know, 8 30-point games in a row, okay, you can make up a difference on, like, they're not going to win a division. So chill with that. But it could be a blessing in disguise. Because the way that I see it and the way I want to see it as a Yankee fan is, okay, you get into the wild card and whomever you end up dancing with, I don't care at this point. If it's the Astros, if it's the Red Sox, or like whatever, like play that in Yankee Stadium. It'll be the first ever wild card round with 3 games in Yankee Stadium. You don't need a break. Get hot. Like swing, pitch, field, throw, stay hot. And really, I hope that Aaron Judge, who he's cooling off a little bit now after being player of the week, I hope that this is the year that Judge can actually be Judge. I hope this is the year that Judge can just be himself. And if Judge is himself, that team doesn't lose. That this team is too deep of a lineup, from Trent Grisham to Judge to Belly to Stanton to Jazz to Ben Rice to Paul Goldschmidt, Volpe, Wells when they're going right. They have too many guys, even their bench guys. Ryan McMahon when he's right. You've seen a little bit of a Med Rosario here. Caballero. You know, they have a deep lineup and they have the pitching, and I think on paper they match up well against anybody. So if the postseason started tomorrow, they would be hosting the Boston Red Sox in a three-game set at Yankee Stadium, and I'm down for that. That doesn't scare me at all. If the postseason ended today, the Mets would be heading to Chavez Ravine to face the Dodgers in a three-game set, and I don't think that should scare any Mets fans at all. The Mets have played well out there, and you should want some get back from last year, right? That's the team that knocked you out last year in the NLCS, so... You know, imagine going to that wild card and advancing and beating them. And then you face the Phillies, who you all have confidence that you can beat. You beat the Phillies, you're right back in the National League Championship Series where the bar was set, right? That's what the bar was set at this year. Hey, you got to get back to that. You got to get back to the NL Championship and potentially the World Series. 888-808-1019. That's where Carlos Mendoza led you last year. Let's hear Carlos Mendoza, when asked today about, you know, why he took out Brandon Sproat, what he saw from him, and, you know, why he removed him after four innings.
Yeah, I thought the first two innings he was pretty nasty, especially with the way he was using the breaking ball, the sweeper, the curveball. Like, he threw a lot of them, four strikes to get chases, to get swing and misses, to get back in counts. The sinker obviously was playing up. And then on that third inning, I thought he lost it a little bit. You know, lead off walk, then he doesn't make a play. And he kind of got away from him a little bit because he lost his strike zone there for a minute. Then his first, he gets a ground ball, we turn the double play, and he's, you know, one batter from getting out of that inning, and before you know it, they hit some balls really hard there. But I like what I saw, and I think even though he only gave us four, I was aggressive with him. I thought he could have kept going, but, you know, where we at, every game I'm going to be aggressive when we need to. But I thought it was a positive outing from him.
Was that about third time through the lineup mostly?
Yeah, and then watching those lefties on that third inning, after Woods, Abram, you know, all of the lefties that came in, there was some hard contact from him, you know, so from them. So I wasn't going to take any chances there, especially after we got back. And I was, instead of bringing someone with traffic, I wanted to give Brasso or whoever a clean inning. And, you know, that was the reason there.
And the lineup hit tonight, 13 hits, 12 runs. And that's the recipe that you need. The Fab Four showing up. Starlin Marte as well. You got a hit, and you're not so worried about the moves with the starter and the rest of the bullpen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.